You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Now, we should have on the line, on behalf of Audio Culture, check out audioculture.co.nz, Trevor Reiki. Are you there, mate?
Yes, how are you?
Good. Now, obviously, very sad news last week to learn of the passing of New Zealand music legend Bernie Griffin. This afternoon, we're taking a look at Bernie Griffin and his impact on New Zealand music and his life. Now, you wrote an article on Bernie a few years ago for Audio Culture. Where do we start with this man and his, you know, his life's work and his story?
Well, I think his work speaks for itself in many respects. Bernie was a very much admired and well liked guy. We weren't exactly friends, but we hung out quite a bit together. He would often come and talk to me about what he was doing with the, you know, not only with the label and distribution, etc., etc. I helped him at one stage get a distribution deal with EMI because I was affiliated with my label, Pagan Records. Went through EMI for a while. And he welcomed the generosity that I extended to him, and he extended it back to many other people. He had a classic. He was a classic example of passing on what he knew and not being, you know, he was not a selfish man. He went out of his way to help musicians. He loved music. He loved musicians. He loved the industry. And I think that's probably how that very much sums up Bernie. He was a very generous guy. He really was.
Yes.
He had a heart of gold.
From my experience of, either him making a phone call into the BFM office or popping in at odd hours and just, you know, doing the classic cruise around the BFM office and just having a good old yarn to everyone.
Always, Bernie.
Always had the time of day.
Bernie was a very generous guy. He loved music, and it took him a while, I think, to actually sustain the own motivation and his own belief. You know, he always wanted to be in music. He was involved in the 80s with setting up Progressive Studios. He was with a number of bands in the early days. He played bass. He pushed himself to the back of the band, so he wasn't hogging any attention. He just wanted to be involved, and I think that speaks volumes. And you know, he was in a band called the Pleasure Boys, which is when I first got to know him. Then he started up his own distribution service, and he worked a lot with musicians who and bands that didn't have a label deal, that didn't have any sort of deal, and he took them on, and he was tireless in the work that he achieved for those bands. He made sure that they were distributed fairly, possibly more than if those bands had been associated with a major label. That distribution service, distribution's a big part of, in those days, of that physical product, was a big part of it. And Bernie was a tireless worker in that direction.
I mean, and also, you know, today I think it's probably pretty widely accepted that, you know, Auckland and the wider New Zealand has a love of alt country, and, you know, we are fans of an American roots style of music, but a lot of this sprung forth from, you know, his radio show, Border Radio.
Correct, yeah. I mean, there'll be many listeners listening to us now who would know of Bernie's show. It was a niche show, but it was a show that he definitely was passionate about, and he gave it his all. Like everything he did, he always gave his all, you know. I think that has to be admired. He was a family man. He was a generous man. He was a very, very kind man, and he shouted me more lunches than I certainly shouted him.
Now, you've picked us a song, Trevor. What would you like to start with? Bernie Griffin and the Grifters number. What would you like to play first?
Well, I've forgotten what I chose now.
We got 29 Diamonds, was that the...
29 Diamonds, I think, is a great starting point, because that was possibly, an entry point for where many people would, that would have been where many people heard him for the first time. It's a beautiful song. It's a brilliant song. And it's, you know, it's, I think it sums up Bernie and his attitude towards other people and working class people.
29 dead for a chunk of coal. Oh, the youngest one, he was 17. The youngest one, he was 17. The youngest one, he was 17. As full of life as you've ever seen. Flash of red, 29 dead for a chunk of coal. Well, mama cried, what have I done? Mama cried, what have I done? Mama cried, what have I done? I lost my sweet brother and his teenage son. Flash of red, 29 dead for a chunk of coal. Nine months later, there's a baby child. Nine months later, there's a baby child. Baby child, her mama's gonna bring her up free and wild. Flash of red, 29 dead for a chunk of coal. 29 diamonds for a chunk of coal. 29 diamonds for a chunk of coal. Say the company don't care. Broke a township soul, flash of red, 29 dead for a chunk of coal. Flash of red, 29 dead for a chunk of coal. Flash of red, 29 dead for a chunk of coal.
Bernie Griffin and the Grifters, 29 Diamonds. I've got Trevor Reiki on the phone from Audio Culture talking about the life and legacy of Bernie Griffin. Now, Bernie Griffin was a man who obviously did an incredibly wide range of stuff, but also wore a lot of hats for a lot of the New Zealand music bodies, from being the first chairperson for Independent Music New Zealand to being on the board with the Radio Industry Association and also the New Zealand Music Commission. So he's just had a fairly profound impact and worked with a whole heap of people, Trevor.
Yeah. Bernie was, I think Bernie also suffered in the early days. He didn't really quite know what he was doing for a while. But when he started the distribution service, I think that sort of really sort of when he started to believe in his own motivation and his own belief, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't not scared to, you know, do the work, and he wasn't scared to take a risk. And there's a lot of artists out there right now, possibly even listening to this broadcast, who would endorse that sentiment. He was a very easy man to love, to be quite honest, and I don't say that with any sort of, you know, any other... I say that with total honesty. He was a very, very kind man, and I liked him immensely. And he wasn't hard to... It wasn't hard to like Bernie. He really embraced everyone's passion for music. I think when he... it took him a while before he assembled his bands. I mean, he was in a few bands, but I think toward the Grifters were definitely a band where there's some great musicians in there, and they wouldn't hang around with if this guy wasn't writing the stuff that he was writing. He wrote some great songs towards the end there, and he was prolific as well. But he's also a family man too, you know, and a great husband to Kirsten, or great partner to Kirsten. In the early days, he worked on the fishing boats in Australia. I think that he had, at that point, he probably had musical issues with his confidence and self-esteem, but he came back and he just threw himself into this gig that he started. He worked at Progressive Studios. He helped set that up. He had a lot of hands and a lot of different pies, but he always gave his all, and that's what I really liked about Bernie. Even as a friend, he gave his all. You always knew you were a friend of Bernie's.
It really feels like there's a sense of, you know, the list of people that he worked with, just obviously, you know, he's potentially been one of those people that has just encouraged people to continue their work and facilitated and been a platform for people to go on and do the great things that we see in the New Zealand music scene today. I mean, the list is pretty long from... you know, working with Carl Stevens and big players like Dave Kahn and a whole heap more, right through.
That's right. He attracted it. I mean, especially once he got those some of those songs coming out. 29 Diamonds really it's a great song, you know, and it says a lot. And there's not a lot of songs that do say stuff like that. But basically, I think once he had the confidence that he was doing something worthwhile, and he was always doing something worthwhile, whether it be playing bass, standing at the back, or whether he was writing songs or encouraging other artists, he gave his all, and that's what I loved about Bernie. There's no, you never had to doubt him. He was just a genuine guy and a very lovable guy.
Yes, yes. Now, Trevor, we've got a couple more songs lined up. We've got Horse Song and Crying Too. Why have you selected these songs?
Once again, I think they show different sides of Bernie. He was, you know, I actually never actually sort of partied with him, so I have no idea what sort of stuff he would put on at home. But I think he always had a guitar. One of the things that I liked about him, which he said in the interview, was he always had a guitar at arm's length, and he might pick it up four or five times in one night, just strum, see what happened, put it down again. I mean, he was that sort of guy. He was definitely a music lover and a writer. Mm-hmm. He had a way with words. So I think 29 Diamonds for a Chunk of Coal says a lot. You know, it says a lot about that industry, about that, the type of people that work in that industry, and I think who could possibly suffer as being in that industry. But he was passionate. I think that's one of the words that sort of I like to use about Bernie. He was very passionate.
All right. Hey, Trevor, thank you so much for your time this evening. If anyone out there wants to go have a further look at Bernie's life and the music he's created, I could steer you toward Audio Culture's article on him, just audioculture.co.nz. Bernie, of course, had a bunch of bands, Bernie Griffin and the Grifters, Bernie Griffin and the Thin Men, and a bunch more that you can dig a little deeper with on the Audio Culture article. Once again, Trevor, thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity to endorse my love for a very proud man.
Yes. Thank you, mate. We're going to play Horse Song, and then we're going to play Crying Too. So, hey, cheers, Trevor. We'll catch you soon.
You're welcome.
hopeless old man in the corner, head spinning round. He wasn't doing what he knew we oughta, looking for love, some mystical lord. I said, yeah. When I'm living in my fantasies, I met a girl who'll ride the seven seas, and she'll ride well. I dreamed last night I saw Elvis sitting at the feet of Christ. They were looking in each other's eyes. He said, are you feeling hungry? Are you feeling sad? Are you feeling lonely or just plain mad? The God who was standing at Jesus' feet turned around and looked at him. He said, what you doing here, boy? Who let you in? What you doing here, boy? Did you pair the gate? You can't change your future. You can't even change yourself. You can't change your future, but you cannot change your destiny. Dead man down a long and lonely street. He was a whispering words of wisdom. He said, I lost my loved ones and they lost me. I lost my loved ones and they lost me. I lost my loved ones and they lost me. But as I travel my path through life, I found freedom. That's what they say, but it's not true. I'm the only one to blame. I'm crying too. I'm crying too. If you love me, none of this would be happening. So you decide what it is you want to say. Get up and get on with it. Cause baby, I'm tired, crying too.
Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.